Well, welcome to Real Church for Real People, everybody. You're glad to be here. Happy Sunday. And to all of you joining us at our Hokesson location, love and honor you today, and everybody joining us online as well. So glad that we get to be one church in different environments and different locations and seeing God do amazing things throughout our region. And if you are joining us for the first time, as you heard, you chose a great weekend to hang out with us. We're starting a new series called Settled, and I'll tell you more about that series in just a moment. But first, I want to just take this opportunity and share with you some of what's coming up over the next few weeks as we kind of get into the thick of summer and the heat of summer. Have you noticed? It is summer. It is summer. The only thing worse would be if we were in Texas. If you're watching from Texas, praying you get some cool air soon. But there are a few things coming up that I want you to know about, and the first is, if you live or work south of the canal, our Middletown location is, yeah, that's right, some people are excited about Middletown, and I am as well. It is scheduled to open September 24th, 77 days from now, but who's counting? So it's coming September 24th, very excited about this, and we have a launch meeting coming up July 19th, so in just about a week and a half on a Wednesday evening. We'd love to hang out with you, whether you've already indicated that you want to be a part of the launch team or are a part of the launch team. If you are, you'll want to be there. But if you're just interested in learning more, love for you to come as well. I'll be there. We'd love to spend some time with you and just help you get fired up about us coming to Middletown. So make plans to join us for that. And then Love Week is coming back in just a few weeks. And yeah, many of you have been a part of that in the past, and this is an opportunity, if you are new to our church, for us to just roll up our sleeves, or actually wear t-shirts, so we don't have to, but we just, rolling right along, all right. This is an opportunity for us to serve outside our walls, really help people who are near us and need us, the hungry, and people who are hurting, and just need tangible acts of compassion and love, and we have almost 2,000 opportunities to serve in that 1 week. So I want to encourage you. We'll tell you more about it in the weeks to come, but just kind of clear your calendar a little bit for that first week of August. And then last but not least, Rise Summer Camp starts August 10th. And if you are a middle or high school student, this is for you. This is an opportunity for you to level up your faith this summer. And we made some changes to our summer camp this year that's really aimed at helping our students get ready for the fall spiritually and be ready for what God has for them. So if you're a student, you're going to want to be there. If you are the parent of a middle or high schooler, middle school or high schooler, make sure you get them to Rise Summer Camp. And let me say, most importantly, because I know some of you might be saying, man, it's expensive to send my student to summer camp, and I get that. We have scholarships available. Generous people in our church give week in, week out, all year long. We always set some aside. We will help you if there's a need. So don't let that be the reason that you miss out on Rise Summer Camp. If you're a parent who wants a staycation or a student who wants a three-day break from your parents or you just want to level up your faith, whatever the motivation is, get to summer camp. And for all of these things that I just shared with you, you can find out more on our app or our website, yourjourney.tv. But let's lean in and make the most of this summer. So as we jump into this series, a big idea behind Settled is this thought that there's so much in our world that is so uncertain, so much that seems to always be kind of shifting sand, and there are all of these views about what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false, what matters and what doesn't. And the big question is, how can we live settled lives in such an unsettling time? And wherever you are in your spiritual journey, I think that's an important question. All of us need a foundation for our lives that stands true even when the world around us is shaking. And that's what we're going to talk about during this series. So as we jump in, anybody else have trouble remembering things? If you're in one of our rooms, physical rooms, just show of hands. Some of you were going to raise your hand, but you forgot, and I get that. I am notorious for this. I have ADD, and I have a very complex system of reminders, and it is very necessary. How many of us, if you did not use your calendar consistently, you could end up in Siberia on a Tuesday afternoon not knowing how you got there? Yeah, me too. So if I don't use these reminders, I'll forget what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to go, who I'm supposed to call, I have to be reminded, and it's not just practical things. Let's go a layer deeper. For me, maybe you can relate to this as well. Sometimes when I'm stressed out or tired or frustrated or discouraged or distracted, I can forget some really important things that may not be tangible, but they're real. I can forget to be courageous. I can forget to be honest. I can forget to be encouraging or confident or patient. And I think all of us find ourselves there at times. I can forget that God has promised to take care of me if I will simply trust him. We just all forget, right? And again, wherever you are spiritually, even those of us with fantastic memories sometimes forget important stuff. I mean, we forget that winning an argument does not necessarily mean you are winning in the relationship. Right? We forget that the more we try to control our lives, the more out of control our lives eventually become. And we forget that God is good. We need to be reminded, all of us do, of what matters, which is why a guy named Paul wrote these words in the New Testament of the Bible. And they're words that are powerful, whether you're trying to figure out what you believe, maybe you're new to your faith in Jesus and you want to build that strong foundation, or maybe you're a few months or years or even more than that along, and you just are noticing how uncertain the world is. Listen to these words from the Bible. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. Let me ask you another question. Has your enthusiasm ever dwindled for something important over time? You know what I'm talking about? You got into the college you wanted, and at first you were like, woohoo, you're taking selfies with the merch, you know, go into fill in the blank. And then a couple of months into college, you're like, I hate this. I can't, who even needs higher education? This is, and you, it's important, but time has a way of causing your enthusiasm to dwindle. You got the promotion, and you're like, okay, I worked so hard for this. I put in my time, and I showed up early, stayed late. Now I finally got the promotion. I deserve this. And then a few months later, you're like, you mean it involves more work? I thought I was going to get paid more to work less. I thought that was God's wonderful plan for my life. Instead, now, I'm not so sure that this is really worth it. Maybe you got into a relationship, and at first you're like, I can't believe she said yes to me. She wants to be with me. Like, I cannot believe that. Just amazed. I heard somebody recently say, if one good woman makes one bad decision, a man is set for life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. She's like, in a moment of weakness, she says yes. You know, oh, aren't you glad you come to church? All right, so we get into a relationship. Can't believe she said yes. Can't believe he would want to date me, whatever it may be, wherever your stage of life. Can't believe it, can't believe it. And then a few months later, we're like, I can't believe I still have their contact in my phone. Like, I can't, but how did that go so south? And we were committed. It was important, but time has a way of diminishing our enthusiasm. And when that happens, we have a decision to make. Is what I committed to initially and thought mattered, I thought it was really a priority for my life, is that still a priority? And if so, then how do I figure out a way to remind myself that the education's worth it, the job's worth it, the relationship is worth it, so that even if things don't feel great right now, I can stand firm in what matters? Well, the same is true with our faith in God. Listen, for all of us who would consider ourselves followers of Jesus, we need to ask the question, do I still believe what I said I believed? And if so, how do I make sure that I set up reminders in my life and don't forget the good news? Don't forget the good news about Jesus. And we're going to talk about what exactly that good news is, but we all need to be reminded. Now, this is written to followers of Jesus, and for some of us today, here in Newark and Hocus and online, you may not consider yourself a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're trying to figure out what you believe. Maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you're just not convinced. And if so, that's okay. I'm glad you're here. I'm not here to twist your arm. But the reason Paul uses this language, dear brothers and sisters, is because he's actually addressing all of us who would say we are followers of Christ. And for all of us who would say, that's me, I believe in Jesus, I am not perfect, but I have set my life toward knowing God and following Jesus, there's a real danger for us. And the danger is that we would forget what initially trusting in Jesus meant and what it continues to mean or should continue to mean in our lives. See, put it this way, faith may start with a lot of emotion, but it's only sustained through a lot of devotion. The initial kind of, oh man, I can't believe that I can know God. I can't believe that Jesus would give his grace to me, would want to be in my life. That initial emotion can fade. And in its place, we got to build this foundation of devotion. Now, the good news is, we'll talk about this in another series, another time. The emotion will come back stronger than ever if we'll build the foundation. Same is true with any relationship that matters. But we've got to have this commitment to building a foundation in our lives. And so many of us, that's exactly what we're doing. We're living this out. We are standing firm in our faith in Jesus. But all of us, myself included, myself at the top of the list, we need to be reminded about what Jesus did and how good that news really is. That the good news about Jesus, it's not news that should make us put up our guard or hide in shame or feel anxious or unsettled. No, it's good news. Who Jesus is, what Jesus did, that's good news. And here's the good news. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. That's a lofty claim, right? The good news about Jesus saves us. That's the first thing we need to know. And for some of us, we might immediately go, okay, hold on. What do we need to be saved from? What is that all about? I don't really feel like I need to be saved from anything. Is there a tsunami coming? A bear? Like, what's going on? What do I need to be saved from? And here's the truth. We need to be saved from a life without God. We need to be saved from a life that we spend, or I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to be offensive, but I'm just convinced it's true, a life that we waste, trying to figure things out on our own for our own benefit with no real meaning or purpose beyond that. That is not a well-lived life. We need to be saved from that life. We need to be saved from sin. What is sin? It's all of the things that keep us from knowing and trusting the God who created us. It's our selfishness and pride and greed. And for all of us who are convinced we don't have any, that's our sin. We need to be saved from it. We need to be rescued from that life. And only the good news about Jesus can save us. Getting into the right college can't save us. Getting the right job can't save us. The promotion can't save us. The right girlfriend or spouse or friend or mentor can't save us. The right numbers for the Powerball can't save us. Can't save us. Religion can't save us. Being a good person can't save us. Some of us should listen closely because that's our plan. And it can't save us. Growing up with Christian parents can't save us. Only the good news about Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can save us. And the good news is he did and he does. So don't forget the good news. Whatever else slips our mind in this life, whatever else we become absent-minded about or fail to recall, we can't forget the good news. Instead, we're invited to continue to believe that Jesus has saved us when we put our faith in him. We have a past event that we find confidence in. He is saving us as we follow him in this world. We have a present relationship that we find confidence in. And he will, in the end, save us. We have a future hope that we have confidence in. And we have to be continually reminded, this is where we're living. This is our foundation. I was saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved through Jesus. And that good news settles us. Because it means that Jesus settled it. And without the reminder of that, the danger is that we can begin building our lives on something that may seem true, but was actually never true in the first place. Maybe it was true-ish, but it wasn't true. We could start believing that we don't really need to be saved. Some of us, we start out following Jesus, and we're just so grateful for the work that God has done in our lives. But over time, a little pride can begin to develop, and we start to think, man, I really needed Jesus in the beginning, but now I think I got this, Jesus. That's dangerous. It's dangerous. We could begin to believe that we could save ourselves, or that we are saved by the good things we do instead of the good things that Jesus did. But what settles our faith is the good news about Jesus. And Paul continues, here it is. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12, referring to the disciples. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. This is the good news. In an ever-shifting world, this is what's most important, what Jesus did for us and what that means for our lives. The problem is, though, it doesn't always feel most important. It doesn't always seem most important. It doesn't always rise to the top of our priorities because we live in such a complex and confusing world. And not only that, but it can sometimes seem hard to believe. So before a lot of our series here, we'll ask some of you to weigh in on what the messages are about. And for this particular message, we asked some of you who had not been followers of Jesus and then you put your faith in Jesus this question: before you trusted Jesus, what was it about him that was the most difficult thing to wrap your mind around? One of you said, it was that Jesus is good all of the time. In life, I have been disappointed and betrayed, and I was unsure how Jesus, someone I have never met or seen before, could never leave me and always be someone I can lean on. Maybe you can relate to that. Another person said, for me, the most difficult thing was that I didn't have to earn love or salvation. Another said, I grew up in a Christian family, but for me, it was hard to comprehend and simply accept that a man I had never met died on a cross for me and rose from the dead. All of those people, and so many of us, all of our locations, so many of us, we were living our lives without God. And we came to a place in our lives where even though we had had all different experiences and came from all different backgrounds, we believed in who Jesus is, that he was God who put all of his perfection and power in a human body and did life among us. And then we believed in what Jesus did, and it transformed our lives, is transforming our lives, and will eventually completely transform our lives. We have a past event, we put our faith in Jesus. We have a present relationship. He is at work in us right now. Do you believe that? Right now, you say, I don't feel it. He doesn't need you to feel it to do it. He is actually a God of devotion, not just emotion. So he's at work in us right now, and we have a future hope. Can't lose. Can't lose. But cancer, but can't lose. But addiction, but can't lose. But betrayal, but can't lose. When you know which team is going to win in the end, you watch the game with curiosity, not anxiety. Past event, current relationship, future hope. So when we say we believe in what Jesus did to give us that, what do we mean? Here's what I want to break down for you. It's the simple gospel or good news about Jesus. First, we believe that Jesus was killed. He was crucified on a cross. Now, nobody argues with this. If you're like, did he really die on a cross? Nobody argues with it. Historians agree. Everyone agrees there was a man named Jesus. He was crucified on a cross. There's lots of evidence to back that up. But that in and of itself does not make Jesus unique or worth worshiping or following. The fact that he died is not that special. In fact, last time I checked, death rate among humans rapidly approaching 100%. Not that unique. The fact that he was killed, not that special. If Jesus died just as a martyr or a polarizing figure in his cultural reality of the time, he's not that special. He's kind of forgettable. He's just a historical figure, interesting, but not worth giving our lives to. But what we believe is that Jesus died for our sins, for the forgiveness of everything we've ever thought, said, or done that was less than God's best for us and less than our best for God. Say, well, how is, I mean, it's kind of where we get hung up sometimes. Like, there's a God out there and he has a perfect standard. Yes. If God is not perfect, he doesn't deserve to be God. And if he's not God, he can't be perfect. So, yes, he has a standard that we can't meet. And all of us, so let me put it this way. You ever gone out to eat with someone and as it was a little more expensive, the restaurant, than you thought it would be? And as you're kind of going through the meal, you're starting like sweat starting to run down your forehead. You're like, oh, we're doing appetizers. Oh, yeah. We're sharing apples. Okay, yep. Oh, you're getting that entree. Okay. Oh, it's a dessert night. All right. You know, you're like, And at the end of the meal, the other person offers to pay. And you're like, bring on another round of desserts. Come on, have you had that experience? Come on, if you're in your 20s, you've had that experience in the last 7 days. Come on, just be honest. Even some of us in our 30s or 40s, come on, be honest. And the other person's like, let me get that. And you're like, oh, are you sure? Here's God's story of humanity. All of us have run up a big bill. We ordered, some of us like multiple entrees. We hadn't even finished the ribeye and we ordered the baked chicken. We're like, bring it all. And we consumed so much without paying attention to the cost. And we got to a place in our lives where we suddenly realized all of us who know Jesus have reached that place that eventually every human will reach. Where we realize, I can't pay for this. I can't afford this. I cannot cover the tiramisu. It's too much. It tipped me over the edge. There's no way I can pay for this. I don't have enough. And Jesus reached out and took the bill. He said, I've got that. And he paid for it in full. He realized the price was so high that only giving his life would satisfy the gap that was there and would pay the price. And here's what you've got to catch. It did not matter to Jesus how much or how little we had ordered. Even though he had not consumed anything that came to the table, he was without sin. He took our penalty upon himself. And he didn't say, oh, this is a lot. You're going to have to be on probation for 6 months. No, he said, I will pay the price so that you can be free. He died for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's applied to our lives when we believe in him. It's the difference between freedom and bondage is whether or not we accept when he reaches for the bill, do we grab it and try to pay for it on our own, or do we let what he did cover the cost? And then from there, we believe that not only was Jesus killed, he was buried, proving that his death was real. He went into a tomb for 3 days. And then on the third day, he was raised from the dead, proving that he was who he said he was and that he had accomplished what he said he would accomplish. And then not only that, I love that Paul says, that's not the end of the good news. He was seen. There were eyewitnesses. There were his disciples, but then eventually there were 500 of his followers at one time who saw Jesus, and they spent the rest of their lives insisting that they saw Jesus, even at the risk of great persecution and for many of them, death. Now listen, if you come to me and say, hey, listen, we're all going to decide that Joe died, but we're going to say he was raised from the dead, and I'll give you $50. I don't know. On a bad day, I might be like, okay, I could use $50. I'll say Joe's raised from the dead, but the moment someone points a gun at me and says, hey, are you willing to swear on your life that Joe was raised from the dead? I'm like, no, dude's dead. The man's dead. Dead. Here's $50. He's dead. Hundreds of people said, you can take my life. I still insist. He died, was buried, rose again, has changed me. I'm a different person. And this is the good news that saves us. And it is not something we just believe intellectually, although there's a firm historical foundation for our faith. It's something we spiritually experience and participate in. And that's why we gather like this, to be reminded of who Jesus was and is and what Jesus did and does and will do. It's why we connect. Because according to Paul, we are brothers and sisters. We have a shared faith. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, it doesn't matter our background, our age. It does not matter our story or our resume. We are connected through Jesus Christ. It's why we serve, use our gifts to make a difference, so that we become the evidence in this world that Jesus was raised from the dead and is changing us. It's why we give to help people in need and to show the love of Jesus and to launch locations and to impact the next generation through things like Rise Summer Camp. Why do we do all of that? Because the good news about Jesus has changed us and given us a meaning and a purpose in this life. We can make an impact together. We have a foundation. It's settled. It's why we invite other people to experience God with us. It's why we spend time with God every day. We call it practicing a slot and spot, a time on your calendar and a place you go to read the Bible and pray. I do that every day, not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm a good person, but because I want to get to know a good person even better. And it settles us. It's why we give and we're generous. It settles us because it has been settled. When you believe in Jesus, you can wake up every day for the rest of your life knowing that you were saved, are saved, and will be saved. Can't lose. Can't lose. Can't lose. Because Jesus settled it. So don't forget the good news. Don't forget. Yeah, but a lot of people are saying, I know, don't forget. Yeah, but I was scrolling the other day, and yeah, don't forget. Yeah, but you know, my professor said, don't forget. Well, my parents, don't forget. But my kid, don't forget. But the doctor, don't forget. The good news. So a couple of months ago, my family spent a week or so in the Pacific Northwest. We were on family vacation. I was born on the West Coast. My family had never been. So we went out, we stayed on a little island called Vashon Island near Seattle in the state of Washington, and we rented a little cottage on this island. And in the description of the cottage, it said that you could see Mount Rainier from the cottage. Now, if you've never been, Mount Rainier is the tallest volcanic peak in the lower 48, 14,410 feet at the summit. It's also glacial, so it's covered with snow and ice year-round. It's amazing. It kind of dominates the landscape. And so this was good news. Man, we're going to get to see it. Like, this is a big deal. Right from our, we're going to have a view from the cottage. But first couple of days, we couldn't see Mount Rainier. I thought we'd gotten ripped off. False advertising. Wasn't the only false advertising on that trip. I'll preach about that another time. But it was an interesting trip. I thought, man, it's not true. Now, here's what I need you to catch. I had seen Mount Rainier before, but because I couldn't see it, I started to doubt what I knew to be true. The rest of my family just remained unbelievers because they'd never seen it. But then on the third day we were there, I got up early and I walked out. It's just a little cottage. Our bedroom's right beside this little kind of one other room, and there's a big window. And I walked out, and I looked out the window as the sun was rising, and there it was, Mount Rainier. The clouds had cleared. And I was like, I can't believe it. I did not take this picture. I'm not that good. But that is Mount Rainier. And there it was. And I was so excited. I was like, Mount Rainier! And as each person in my family got up, I was like, Mount Rainier! And they're like, oh man, it's so beautiful. Because if you ever see this mountain, it actually is so large and so majestic, it doesn't just, when you see it, it doesn't just change your perspective of it. It changes your perspective of everything around you. It's that majestic. But for 2 days, we couldn't see it. Why? Because of the clouds. So we just assumed, well, it's not real. And I knew it was, but I'd forgotten. The rest of my family was like, oh, I don't even know if there is a Mount Rainier. We thought maybe it's not as close as we thought. It's not what was described to us. But the truth is, it was just the clouds. Clouds had created bad views. And here's what you got to understand. I don't know when those clouds rolled in, like a day or two before we got there, but when the clouds rolled in, they didn't pick up Mount Rainier and transport it to Illinois. Mount Rainier never moved. It's Mount Rainier. It's settled. It can get as cloudy as it needs to get, and it can't move the mountain. All the clouds do is just hide what's real from view temporarily. The world's cloudy right now. And there are a lot of views, a lot of ideas. What is there really a God? And are we really created as an act? What's identity? And how do I, what's most important? Am I just my own God? Do I do my own? A lot of views out there. It's cloudy. And maybe as a result, your world is getting cloudy. It's confusing. It's uncertain. It's dark. It's gray. Don't forget the good news. Don't base what you believe on the clouds. Base what you believe on the mountain. Because it's the clouds are going to move. The mountain is not going anywhere. It's Mount Rainier. So in a cloudy world, remember that Jesus settled it. Past event, present relationship, future hope. When your life is full of bad views, don't forget the good news. And I just really believe over the next few weeks during this series, if we'll be receptive and open, I think some clouds can clear and we can see who God is and what God wants and why and take some steps together. And if you would say week one of this series, I need to be reminded today, in a world full of bad views, I need to be reminded of what Jesus did for me, wants to do in me, and will one day do for me. If you would say, I need to be reminded today, would you just lift your hand all over the room here in Newark and Hokesson online? You can lift that hand toward heaven. And then open your life up to God and join me. Let's talk to Jesus for a moment. Jesus, we love you. You're real and you're listening right now. So we remind our souls. Come on, do that with me. I remind my soul today. There is a God and he has a son named Jesus who is God. Jesus was killed so I could be free. Buried for 3 days. Jesus, I believe you rose again and that you still desire to be seen through my life. I believe the good news. God, I pray over the people of God that the clouds would not become our belief system. But the mountain of God would be the place we run to. And while you let the Holy Spirit speak to you for a moment more, for all of you who are followers of Jesus, I want to take this moment and speak to any of you who aren't. And maybe you're not ready to believe any of this yet. That's okay. Maybe you would say, if you were honest, it was cloudy when you started talking, and it's still cloudy now. That's okay. Just come back next weekend. I think you owe it to yourself to give this a few weeks and see if the view improves. But maybe for some of you today, you are ready. The clouds have cleared enough that you can see there's a God and that he sent his son to save you from your sins. And you know you need him and you want to take that step to put your faith in Jesus today. I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer if you're ready to take that step. So at all of our locations and online, just open your heart up to God again. And if that's you, you want to begin following Jesus, whisper out a prayer of faith right where you are, something like this. Jesus, today I believe in you. I believe you died to forgive my sins. The clouds have cleared just enough that I'm ready to trust in you. Save me today from a life without God. Give me a relationship with you and a future hope. And if that's you today, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today, would you lift your hand, just hold it up high, boldly, all over the room. My faith is in Jesus in Hokesson. Hold that hand up high. Yeah, I'm trusting Jesus with my life. Online, you can type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on. Let us know you're taking that step. And then make sure before you click off today or before you leave one of our physical locations, you fill in a Connect card. Share that with us. We'd love to give you some simple ways you can grow in your faith. And for right now, Journey, would you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the praise together.